never good when they start out crying. May not get any better. It's good to see everybody out. We do have a visitor. Stick around and don't let us shake your hand. It's good to see everybody out this morning. Hopefully, as the weeks go by, we'll continue to add a few more people in the pews as we go. Thanks, Paul. Got this lapel mic to try to help with the sound, and the only way to tell is to try it out, so good luck for you all at home. And I'm going to try to bring that over here and not jerk the whole iPad down in the process. So you all may be in store for something spectacular by the time this is all over with. We're going to start a new series that's going to run from today, Mother's Day, until pretty close to Father's Day, in which we're going to talk about the family. Maybe sort of in an atypical type way, because I don't want to just talk about parenting and marriage. The church is made up of people who are single, who are widowed, divorced, people that are parents, that are married, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandparents, and you can go on. Whatever role you play in whatever family you are in, you have a role to play no matter the shape or size. This year we've been talking about the Gospel of John and how John introduces us to Jesus in such a way to say that Jesus is the Word. He is the Creator come into the world, not only to bring about the forgiveness of sin, but to bring about those who believe in Him a rebirth, being born again, a new creation. How when you believe in Jesus and you accept Him for who He is, and you are reborn of the water and the Spirit, you become a piece of that new creation. So this morning, what if we walk through some passages and just explore them from the perspective of what this does for our family? When you're a follower of Jesus, it changes every relationship you have. Again, whether you're a cousin or a grandparent or a daughter or a son or a spouse, no matter what role you play in the family, when you follow Jesus, everything changes. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. How Jesus changes our lives when we reorient everything around Him. What if the single most important and defining characteristic of your family was, we believe in Jesus? What would your family look like? As I think about family in our era, I don't know about other eras or how old or young you are. You only know about the time you live in. We don't know what life was like necessarily 100 or 200 years ago because we weren't there, but I suspect family life today is just a bit more busy. I think we tend to be pretty busy people. I hope that you never come to worship and feel like something else has been added to your list. Jesus doesn't want to make our lives harder by becoming just another priority in a long list of priorities. He wants to make your life easier by becoming your sole priority around which everything else revolves. So this morning, ask yourself, what is your family's bread? In order to answer that question, let's answer these three questions. Number one, for what does your family hunger for? And maybe that's sort of hard to answer collectively, but maybe you as an individual, or if you can as a family, what do you hunger for in your marriage? If you're a parent, what do you hunger for in a relationship with your kids? What do you hunger for your children? If you're single, what do you hunger for in a spouse? What is it exactly that your family hungers for? Number two, what end are you working towards? As an individual, again, or as a collective? In your marriage, what are you working towards? What are you working towards in your marriage and in your life? If you're a parent, what are you working for in a relationship with your kids? What do you want for them? What are you encouraging them to work towards? Or if you're a grandparent or an aunt or uncle in any relationship in the family, you can think about these things. What am I hungry for? To what end am I working? And number three, what sustains you from day to day? What gets you through the ups and the downs? What helps you get from one day in spite of the things that come up and happen? That is your family's bread, the things that you are working towards, the things that you are hungry for, and the things that sustain you from day to day. No matter what role you play in your family, no matter the size, think about those questions. If it is just one person in the home, again, what are you hungry for? What sustains you? What are you working towards? Or again, as a group, what are you working towards? What sustains you? What are you hungry for? We'll look at John chapter 6 and verse 25, and in the context here, Jesus has just fed the 5,000 with the loaves and fishes, and he's enjoyed it, and they enjoyed it while they were full, and now they want more food, and Jesus has disappeared to the other side of the lake. And it says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." When you stop and think about it, what was the sign? It was the loaves. So what's the difference in you're seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill and loaves? What is the distinction there? It's the intention of the sign. The sign points outside of itself to another reality, or to another reality. In this case, it's the feeding of the 5,000 was the point to the identity of Jesus. Who is the one who can feed so many with so little? Who is this man? Jesus says, you didn't come because that's the answer or the question you were trying to answer. You came because you wanted more food, not because you wanted more Jesus. And I wonder if that's not true of us sometimes, where we want God, but not for God's sake, or we want Jesus, but not for his own sake, but for what we think he can give us. We don't necessarily want more Jesus sometimes. We want more stuff. We want whatever we think that Jesus can give us. Verse 27, Jesus says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life." And that's a good contrast. What's the food that perishes? Well, it's the bread and the fish specifically that they've been eating. But he's also making a more general statement here. Don't work for the food that perishes. Food that perishes in and of itself isn't bad. It's not intrinsically wrong. It's just stuff that perishes. So what is it in our lives that is the food that perishes? Money. Money is a food that perishes. Fame, popularity, being liked, all of that is food that perishes. Health, beauty, food that perishes. Even comfort and happiness are food that perishes. There's nothing wrong with them, but they are temporary at best. How much of your family life is consumed for working for food that perishes? How much of your life is spent chasing things that perish? Jesus says, in essence, you did a lot of work. You came all the way over to the other side of the sea. You're trying to find me, not because you're seeking something that endures, but because you want more food. And think about the ends that we go to, the chasing after money or fame or beauty or happiness. How much of your family life is consumed working for things that perish? He continues on. He says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" If we work for food that perishes, that's what we get, food that perishes. If we work for the works of God, then we get food that endures to eternal life. Well, how do we do that? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." We know how to work for food that perishes. We know how to work for romantic relationships. We know how to work for money. We know how to work for popularity, for beauty, for comfort and happiness. But how is it we go about working for the food that lasts into eternal life? Jesus said that we believe in him. That's the work you must do, in which God gives you the bread that lasts forever. Believe in Jesus. And that's why I said at the beginning, Jesus doesn't want to make your life harder by giving you another priority in your long list of priorities. Jesus wants to make your life easier by becoming your sole priority. This is how you live. Believe in me. Verse 30 says, "So they said to him, 'Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?' 'Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' And they said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.'" To them, that sounds great. Bread that lasts. Bread that never goes away. They said, "We want this bread." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. And he would even go on to say that should I become your life, should Jesus become your life, that even his flesh and his blood you will eat and you will drink. Our goal in life should be to do this work. Come to him, believe in him, feed on him. When that happens in us, when we work towards the food that endures to eternal life by coming to him, believing in him, feeding off of him, then we become a new kind of people, and it changes everything, including how we live. So what kind of transformation would happen in your marriage? What kind of transformation in you? If you can't control, you know you can't control what your spouse does, but you can control what you do or don't do. What if in your marriage your sole priority was to come to Jesus and believe in him? For Jesus to become your bread of life. What would happen if Jesus becomes your bread? Again, what would happen to your marriage? Imagine if Jesus is the one you're working for and he sustains you day in and day out. Imagine then how much love and compassion and mercy you would have to give to somebody else if Jesus was your bread. Imagine how your parenting would change if Jesus was your bread. Imagine how much patience we would have as parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles when Jesus becomes our bread. The one who sustains us from day to day. The one that we hunger for. The one that we are working for. When Jesus is our bread, it changes every relationship in your life. So our moment of truth question this morning: is your family's bread Jesus? If you're really honest about that answer, it's probably not entirely. I wish he was some days a little more, but not entirely sometimes. We could all pursue food that perishes a little less and pursue the food that endures to eternal life with just Jesus a little more. So no matter your role in your family, what your role is, what if we stopped and asked ourselves, what could I do this week to pursue the food that doesn't perish, but that endures to eternal life? This morning, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to come as together we stand and we sing.